Thank you. You all may be seated. Passage of Scripture that I wanted to read to us this morning is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and I'll begin reading there in verse 51. This passage is just full of hope. Full of hope. If you've had a week or are going through a season right now where there just doesn't seem to be any, and you'd wish things were gone or removed from your life or changed or fixed or made better, let's reflect on this passage here this morning. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
All right, let's sing again, 327. All three verses there, he lives, 327.
Oh, power, his gift, and here now, he's appeared for an honor. Amen.
This is Easter Sunday. He arose. He lives. What had to take place, though, before we could sing all of these good Easter songs? He had to die. Last Friday night, we spent time reflecting on his death. And it was kind of a funeral, really. That's what Good Friday is. And reflecting on his death and what it means to us and and why we need to reflect on his death. His body was beaten. His body bled. He was crucified. He was buried. Why? For us. All of that. For us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead in our sins. We needed a Savior. We needed someone to spiritually bring us back to life. The created, that's us, needed the Creator to make things right. What mercy, what grace God showed us. The thing that He made messed everything up. And yet He did all of that to restore us. Instead of just maybe starting all over again. Christ came to take our sin on Him in order to satisfy the judgment of righteousness by a holy, loving, merciful God. That's what Christ did. Listen now to the words of these songs.
This song is about Jesus and the living hope that we have in Him. The chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is a victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. You are my living hope.
Beautiful song about the resurrection. What did the resurrection accomplish? I mean, what is Easter all about today? Other than it really is a great story. It gives our Sunday school teachers a really cool story to teach the kids. And they can do really neat things with the plastic Easter eggs and illustrations. And then, of course, we have the chocolate crosses afterwards for the kids. Just for the kids. It's a great holiday. No doubt many of you have been to Easter egg hunts already. My wife and I did one last night, not for us, for our grandkids. Yeah, they had a senior citizen Easter egg hunt. That was fun. I'm not there yet, but I do get the senior discount at some restaurants. Just saying. Why do we celebrate Easter? Other than, yes, Jesus died and he rose again. What's the significance of all of that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17. I read it earlier. Let's look at it again. If Christ be raised, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Jesus died on the cross, paid the penalty for my sins. But he had to raise from the grave to kind of finish it out for us to have eternal life. His resurrection was necessary to prove that he was, in fact, the Son of God. For only the perfect Son of God could fulfill the requirements for a perfect sacrifice. But here's what else the resurrection does. It allowed Christ to become our mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not familiar or really sure of the concept of a mediator, okay, let's say you're in trouble with your parents.
hopefully your home wasn't like this, but some are. Okay. In mine, it was Dad. Don't go there. Mom was the mediator. She would be the go-between to kind of soften things for us, right? And it's a weak illustration, but in that sense, Jesus is the go-between between us and our Creator. The resurrection allows him to be that mediator between God and men, as the verse said, the man, Christ Jesus. So he had to raise from the grave because a dead mediator is useless. To intercede on our behalf, he had to raise back to life. And so because of the resurrection, he can now offer us salvation. Listen to these verses. Our verse, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are given, we are, as it says, begotten again. He created us once. We were begotten once. And then again, a second time, to this lively hope is what it's referred to in the verse there. Because of the resurrection of Christ. A lively hope, a real hope. It is a confident expectation that this is for sure. This is a sure thing. The fact that Jesus rose from the grave. There's our hope right there. We needed a perfect sacrifice. Was he? Well, the resurrection proves that he was. It's proof of his own righteousness. When Jesus died for all our sins, if he was not completely, perfectly righteous. Now, I know some pretty good people. I know some not so pretty good people. You all know some people that you would say, they're good people. If there's anyone close to perfection, it would be this person here. They're not perfect. You see, God told us in his word, if you keep the whole law, you keep all the Ten Commandments, and you just violate one, just one time, he says, you are guilty of all of them. One ruins it all. None of us are perfect. Jesus needed to be righteous to be our sacrifice. If he wasn't completely righteous when he died, he would not have raised from the grave. Now, here's how I know that to be true. We are not guilty or perfectly righteous. We are not innocent. We are guilty. The Bible says all have sinned, every one of us. And what is the wages of sin? Death. Separation from God for all eternity. So when we die, when a human being dies because of their sin, what do they deserve? They deserve separation from God for all eternity. And my friend, that is where all of us are at prior to Christ entering the picture. So if Jesus was not completely righteous, he would not have been raised from the grave because he wouldn't have deserved to be raised from the grave. There would have been sin in his life. And he would have deserved separation from God for all eternity. Because he was raised from the grave, he was righteous. A righteousness that we should strive for. And then something was done with his righteousness. It was, the Bible says, imputed to us or given to us. I like the visual images of being infused in us. the Bible says we're clothed with his righteousness. We're wrapped in his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him through Christ." Yes, even though we still sin, when God looks at someone who has trusted Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, he sees the righteousness of Christ, even though they sin. The resurrection also gives us the promise of eternal life. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." I like this verse because I can actually say this and be truthful. I will never die. When my life ends here, it just continues on in heaven. This soul will never see the grave, because Jesus saved me. This soul will never, ever be underground. It will never be in purgatory, wherever that is, because Jesus saved me. The Bible says that when Jesus paid the penalty on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." Well, if it's done, it's done. If the penalty for sin is paid, it's finished, it's done, I don't have to do anymore. He paid it all. All my sins forgiven. The penalty for all of them have been paid. Christ's resurrection actually ushered in the concept of eternal life. If Christ was still in the grave, how could he offer us eternal life? Think about that. What Jesus did to satisfy the requirements for us to be restored to our Creator, these requirements are, the sin had to be completely paid for. It's finished. There's nothing else that I can do, or that I need to do, or that I can do to improve on what Jesus did on the cross. Listen to this next song the choir is going to sing about that concept. It is finished. free salvation. We all love free, don't we? Free is good. Well, unless you've got a salesman at your door saying, free set of Ginsu knives, or whatever. This is free, nothing else attached. Only it wasn't free. Maybe you've heard that before. There's nothing free in this world, including salvation. It cost. But Jesus paid it all. And he offers to you this gift of salvation. Have you ever accepted that gift? Have you come to Christ, repented of your sin? Some might say, yes, Pastor, I remember. I've got this piece of paper at home in my baby book that said I was baptized. Baptism doesn't save us. Jesus dying on the cross saves us. The Bible says that we have to repent of our sins and trust Christ's work on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Are you hoping maybe that you can be good enough to escape hell and gain entrance into heaven? But Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you are saved by faith. It's not by works. It's not by any of the good things we can do, even the good church things that people do. God says, it's not enough. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said, it's not by our good works that we're saved. I grew up believing that because I prayed a prayer when I was 4 or 5 and then got baptized, that I'm going to heaven. People would ask me in my junior high years, you know for sure you're going to heaven? I would say, yep, because I prayed this prayer and I got baptized. When I was in high school, people would ask me, are you sure you're going to heaven? You had to see me in high school to understand that. Yep. I prayed a prayer and I was baptized when I was a little kid. I prayed a prayer. I was baptized. I thought I was going to heaven because of what I did. And then I realized it had nothing to do with what I did. I had to get I out of the picture. And it was all about Jesus and what he did. Finally, thankfully, Christ did not quit trying to get my attention. It took until I was 19, but he got my attention. Helped me understand and realize it's not about me and what I do. It's only about what Christ did on the cross. And when he said, it is finished, it was done. I just had to accept it and stop trying to be a good person to get into heaven. I don't know where you're at today. What you grew up believing, maybe even grew up in this church, believing something about yourself. I grew up in a church just like this one. And I've told people this before. If, when I was 16 or 17 and out on the weekends with my friends, if I had died, I would be burning in hell today, even though I was in church the Sunday before. I think one of the things that began to break through the ice was right after I graduated high school, 4 of my friends were out in a car and did die. And that got me thinking, whoa. death is real. Eternity is real. And where am I going to be spending eternity? God began working in my heart. Maybe He's working in your heart. Even if you grew up in church like I did, unless you place your faith in what Christ did on the cross, that is the only way to gain entrance into heaven. You've got to get you out of the picture. I'm going to ask if everyone would please bow their heads. Just to give everyone else some privacy. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can I ask you a question? I promise I'm not going to come down there and embarrass you or do anything. I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to take this step of decision making in your heart, okay? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? You know it for sure. Would you raise your hand, please? Okay, thank you. Now, hands down, if you don't know for sure, your life could be over this week. That was one of the things that struck me as an 18-year-old when four of my friends were killed just like that, instantaneously in their car. They weren't anticipating that. Now, I'm not trying to scare you into making a decision, but I am trying to get you to understand reality. Jesus, God tells us to not boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Don't say, yeah, I'll think about it. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe later on in my life. My friend, if you have a loved one that's here with you tonight or this morning and they don't know that they're going to heaven, you could lose them forever. Be praying for them right now. If you don't know for sure, but you're thinking, okay, you're thinking, Pastor, I would like to know for sure. Would you raise your hand, please, right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I would like to know for sure. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. I see that hand there. Anyone else? God in heaven, Lord, I pray, please help us here this morning. The biggest decision of our life could be made right now on Easter Day. What are we going to do with Jesus? He went through everything He did before the cross. He went through the cross. He went through taking on all of the guilt of our sin all at one time. Being buried. Being raised again from the grave. He did that all for us. God, if there's someone here this morning that wants to know for sure they're going to heaven, God, I pray that they would see me before they leave or maybe ask the person that brought them to show them how they can know for sure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read a verse of scripture to you. It's found in Ephesians chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. What a blessing. We don't have to do animal sacrifices anymore. Isn't that great? Not like they did in the Old Testament. And now Jesus is saying, God is telling us by this verse here that our sacrifices that we can bring Christ right now is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. When we come to church, folks, that we need to be praising God through our singing, don't we? We need to be praising God through our singing. I understand sometimes you're tired. Sometimes I'm tired, okay? That's why I have an espresso machine down the hall. It's just sometimes it's hard to, the energy of singing. But think of who we're giving praise to. God, who did this for us so we can be atoned for the mistakes, the sin that we've committed. So that's something to rejoice about. Let's offer sacrifice to Him by the fruit of our lips this morning. Would you all stand with me, please, as we sing a verse in closing, Christ the Lord is risen today. It's page number 323 in your books if you want to follow along there.